Happy Monday to all 11 of you. It's Radio Free Weir with Rod Babcock.
Yeah.
Start off the show with an apology. I did not mean I did not mean for things to be so awkward and weird and to keep you people in anticipation of a Friday list that was not forthcoming. That was not my intention anyway. I don't know if Rod intended it that way. Lord knows what his intentions are. But I
still don't know.
Here's the thing. I thought it was going to get done. I thought we would be able to do it. And then every piece of information and logic and knowledge of recording computer audio and doing this flew out the window and left me scrambling for the last, 4 or 5 days, trying to think of a solution. I thought I had it today, and it's still not solved. So the solution that I wasn't angling towards was spending a bunch of money on a new mixer. But
yeah,
that is the only solution. So while waiting for Rod to go through the number of pre-show rituals that he goes through involving going to Sonic and then taking a piss and whatever else he does, I went on Amazon,
meditate.
I bought a new mixer, so it should be in tomorrow. So we'll definitely have a list on Friday. And I'm very sorry that we didn't have one this past Friday.
Yeah. A bunch of excuses.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, you're part Here's of the show, thing. Too. What's your excuse?
I'm an amateur. I have no idea what I'm doing.
That is true.
So, yeah, I'm just fumbling through. I've had one of those days today, and I'm fighting it. Like, I don't want to fall into that, mother, why?
Yeah.
But I swear.
What exactly is that again?
You know, we just get all angry, like, you mother, why?
I guess so.
Why? Anyways, the point is, like, everything I pick up, I drop, and everything I drop, I can't find. You know, that kind of just that day.
No, my life's pretty great. I don't really know what you're talking about.
See, and that
never
and
really
that
had
helps.
A problem. No, I'm okay.
Yeah, see, when you tell me things like that, I feel better immediately.
You feel what?
I feel better immediately, especially since you're far enough away that I can't choke you. What happened?
So you've just been losing everything, like last Monday when I lost my
son? Yeah, your what?
My son.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nothing important like that, you know. No.
Or as
just
important.
Trying to get stuff.
Like things come.
Just trying to
get
stuff done around the house. And like I said, it's just been one of those days. Everything seems frustrating. I did a weird thing yesterday. I built a 2-story doghouse.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about this. You built a 2-story doghouse for your dogs. Both of which, by the looks of your dog, would not be able to go. I'm surprised they can get up any steps, much less you seeing the need for a 2-story doghouse, but you built them a 2-story doghouse.
Yeah. And the only person that's been in it is Roman.
Of course. Those dogs aren't going in there.
No, it's a little steps going up to it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, because the whole thing is it's like in the garage, you know, like inside the garage, they have their little space and there was one enclosure and they would fight over it. So I'm like, I can't do this. We're making a second enclosure, but I don't have room for it. So I'm going to make it a 2-story. Just trot up the little steps and into the, they won't go up the steps. So like I spent all day building something and it seems to be pointless.
Anyway, I didn't want to tell you that was a terrible idea and that your dogs wouldn't appreciate it because you were all excited about it. And honestly, anytime you're doing something, I'm just happy that you're doing something.
Yeah, I know. It seemed like a good idea, but now I think it's just going to end up being storage.
The dog thing?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I need to get you a dumpster.
Is this a comment on my life, sir?
It's a little bit of both.
So I can just like have a fire in it and just be the official dumpster fire that I am.
Yeah. We need to get a gasoline soaked dumpster for you to put your life in and make it official. No, but Rod, this is the kind of guy Rod is. I was, you know, leaving and I had way too much stuff. in my house, as is, I think, what most people go through when they're leaving. If they've lived in a place any longer than a couple of months, you go, why do we have so much stuff? Why did we settle down? Why did we do this to ourselves? Because now we can't get rid of all this stuff. Well, and I was telling Rod about it, and he was like, oh, why don't you just bring it over to my house? I've got plenty of crap I don't need in my garage. And
just add to the pile.
Rent a dumpster. Yeah, just add it to the pile. And then we'll just rent a dumpster, and then I can just throw it all away. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. That'll be September John's problem. Well, now it's September. And September John needs to rent you a dumpster so you can get rid of August John's shit.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Or you could just set your house on fire. Honestly, so many times when we were moving or leading up to the move, I was just like, oh, why don't we just burn the house down?
Yeah. Well, at least all the stuff in it.
Yeah, right. I mean, we get the babies and the dogs out and everything, but do we really need all this stuff, and is it worth our while? So James Hill, my former landlord, if you're listening and you walked into our house after we left and you went, what the hell? How bad did they make this? You don't realize we could have made it so much worse. The thought crossed my mind many times.
Moving is just such a pain in the ass usually. Well, you know, yeah. George Carlin does the whole bit about your house is just a place to put your stuff while you go out and get more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all it is. It's an enclosure for your stuff.
Yeah, it's just a box.
And the longer you live in a house, the more stuff gets shoved in every nook and cranny of that damn. I've been digging through. I found a box of china. I don't mean heroin. I mean actual china dishes.
Why would I assume that you meant heroin? What the hell kind of leap is that?
Well, you know, the point is,
I mean, with you, I'd assume coke. That wouldn't make sense that it's China.
No, it would be Colombia. The point is, mm-hmm. I found a box. I was like, honey, do you know we had a box of fine china? She's like, what? So she's like, oh, yeah, I knew we had that. I'm like, what the hell? Why?
We have china that we got for our wedding that we have still not opened. Like, it is still down there. It's Mikasa china, which I think is supposed to be pretty good. And
wait, you got Mexican china?
Yeah, right. It sounds Mexican, but I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be really good. Otherwise, I don't understand why my wife hasn't let us use it. But you know how we love dinner parties? You know how much Katie and I love to entertain?
I know. And she loves having guests over.
Oh, loves it. And so I'm surprised we haven't gotten the china out, dusted it off, and invited the neighbors over for...
No, I found out this is Tabitha's, like, family china that mm-hmm. like, was given to her mother at some point and then given to her, and I had no idea we even had it.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens. I don't know what china's for. Like, do you have anything that you... I mean, I know it's been a while since you were married, but do you have anything like from when you were married that you still use? Certainly not your dignity.
No, lost that a long time ago. Yeah. My cock and balls are in a jar in the refrigerator.
Sure,
so
sure.
But no, not really. I mean, yeah, we've been married since 1993. So
true.
Even,
yeah. Yeah.
Even the like good stuff is wore America. Out now, like us.
Yeah. It was never good. We have like a quesadilla maker, I think, but we've only been married for 11 years, so I guess that's
I'm trying to think. I don't think there's anything left over from that debacle. Yeah.
Right. All right, enough BS. Do you want to get to some news stories?
Yes.
All right, I need to talk to you about this. This is something that I saw earlier, and I was like, I cannot wait to talk to Rod about this. Headline. Mm-hmm. Hitler's wife, Eva Braun's World War II knickers, had just sold for £3,700.
Okay.
The pink silk pants embroidered with Braun's initials came from a private European World War II collection. They were sold to an anonymous UK telephone bidder who also bought her white lace nightdress for £2,600. The auctioneer said there was a perennial interest in items from the Nazi Germany era. You know, when I saw perennial, I thought they were saying perennium, which is a fancy word for taint. And and I was like, yeah, why not both? Why not both? Why couldn't it be perennium interest?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I love history. I can understand wanting to own a piece of history. I don't think that Eva Braun played such a huge role in history that you would need to buy those. And I will stick by my statement. If you buy used underwear, I don't care if it's out of a vending machine in Japan. I don't care if it's from a Goodwill in Belleville, Illinois. If you buy used underwear, you should be on a list. I don't care if you, no one has, I've been to Goodwills and I've seen the underwear there and I've been like, who would buy this? Because if I was so poor that I couldn't afford underwear, I just wouldn't wear underwear.
I was going to say, it'd just be commando.
Yeah. Why would you just not wear underwear?
To purchase souvenir underwear, to purchase, artifactual underwear, that seems odd. And Eva Braun, really? Why do you want Eva Braun's knickers and her World War II? Like, she only wore one pair the whole time? I bet those are nasty.
I am assuming she wore... Okay, the theory just occurred to me why somebody might buy these. And this person needs to be on a list for another reason.
Cloning purposes?
Yes. Not her... But maybe Hitler's DNA got on him, and
I don't think he did that.
No.
I think he was all messed up downstairs. There's like one nut, and then the stuff was upside down.
I've heard that, but I think it's a myth. I think that he was crudded up, but I don't. I think that it. I've heard anyway that was a myth, and his stuff worked. And even if it did, I could see him just like going. Premature on her. Like that would be his shtick, is like, I'm not gonna get inside of you, but outside is where I'm sticking. It just seems like a Hitler thing to do.
Oh god.
Like, yeah, you know what, it is a very Hitler thing to do, to want to invade an area but then stay outside of it and call the shots. No pun intended on shots.
Wow. That is an interesting analogy there. Yeah. Yeah.
So all I know is the Antichrist is about to be born because this person bought Eva Braun's panties, is going to clone Hitler probably while wearing the panties and bring a baby Hitler to life.
That's
so in 9 months, you're probably going to see a little baby born with a tiny little mustache and horns.
That's interesting. I just like you said, I understand wanting some things, like I could see wanting some cool, uniform or like a helmet or something. But to buy someone's underwear, that's just weird. And I know they have like rock star auctions where you can buy like the Purple Rain coat, the jacket that Prince wore.
The wooden one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I don't. Not underwear.
Yeah, if you were going to buy something like that,
Prince's knickers.
What would you buy? Like I remember the piano that John Lennon wrote Imagine on sold for like $100,000 or something like that. Like honestly, I thought it'd be
a lot more than that.
Yeah, but
especially
it wasn't
the whole piano.
It wasn't as much as you would think. Yeah, I mean, just the piano alone, it's worth some money.
Yeah,
and
they ain't cheap.
But I have a problem with this. I remember. There was also with John Lennon, Yoko was like selling his diaries and stuff too. And it's like, I don't think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I remember that. That's when everybody started talking about Yoko Ono's a lot like starving Ethiopians. She's living off dead Beatles.
If they're starving, then they shouldn't have any food, though. I mean, really.
Sure. Okay. Let's go with that.
I'm trying to correct your racist joke. I'm just wanting to make sure you're
not, Yoko not racist, Ono is not a race.
Oh, it bothered me. No, I'm not talking about her. I'm just talking about Ethiopia.
Oh, yeah. That's probably not nice.
Yeah. Well, it's not really fair to say that they're all starving. It's just some are starving and then they eat dead Beatles. Point is. I don't know. I always get kind of weird. I think it's cool if you wanted to own something like that. But like, say, I love early grunge era alternative stuff. If somebody were to sell me like Kurt Cobain's guitar or like Eddie Vedder's like flannel shirt or Timberlands or something like that.
Yeah.
I would be like, oh, that's so great. But what am I going to do with it?
Yeah.
Like if this is the guitar he used in the Smells Like Teen Spirit video. That's so cool. I'm never going to play it.
Right. I don't own it and tell people. I don't own a Hard Rock Cafe. What the hell am I? I'm not going to put it on display.
What are you going to do with Eva Braun's panties? Is there like a Nazi equivalent of a Hard Rock Cafe?
I bet there is. It's probably an underground place, though. You know, it's probably not real known. But yeah, it's the
If it's Hitler, if the stories are true, then it would be the Shard Cock. It's
I was just thinking like the Goose Step Cafe, but you know.
Yeah, something like that. I like Shard Cock.
Now that actually
is all cut up.
That actually sounds like a place you would come across in like England or in Scotland. Like just
the Shard Cock.
Staggering down a cobblestone street in Scotland and you look up and there's like the Shard Cock. You're like, oh, I'm going in here, dude. I'm definitely going in here. I bet they make badass bangers and mash.
I wouldn't want to eat at a place like that, but if there was like an Applebee's that was like instead of the alligator with sunglasses on the wall, it's like a bunch of Nazi plates and stuff. I could see that, but I still don't understand the purpose of owning this. The person who bought it said, well, this stuff keeps increasing in value. Why are you encouraging that?
No, like, it doesn't.
Okay, I bought this because someday it might be valuable. You can buy lots of things for $3,700 that, one, aren't nearly as creepy as Eva Braun's panties, and two, aren't associated with Nazism. Like, there's lots of things that you could buy that are collector's items that you don't need to be associated with Nazi poon. I don't understand why you had to have these.
It is weird. The whole everything about it's weird. Yeah. And the fact that they were even auctioning them. Like, somebody at auction, I was like, wait, did you say those are Eva Braun's panties? Oh, we're putting these on the block.
Well, like, there's people that certify these things, right?
Yeah.
So who's certifying it?
And how exactly? By smell?
These smell evil. These
not really evil, but just like complacent.
Yeah. Yeah, like not willing to assist nor fight against the
right.
evil.
Right. Just nah.
Kind of like it was caught up in the times evil. I don't know. Here's another fun story. A woman bites a camel's testicles to escape after it sat on her.
Wait. Okay, I have many questions.
First of all, your first question is probably where did this happen, right?
Right.
Camel sitting on somebody. She had to chew her way out of it.
She had to chew her way out from under the camel. Probably
the Middle East. Probably some forsaken country. Nope. Louisiana.
Oh, my God.
So not too far off.
Yeah, it's a godforsaken place. Yes.
Yeah, definitely godforsaken, but just not the Middle East. The woman was chasing her dog when she followed it into the camel's enclosure. The camel, named Casper, became agitated and pinned the woman against the wall and sat on her. Desperate to escape, she bit the camel's testicles, which allowed her to run away. She was later taken to a hospital with an undisclosed injury. But Casper's owners are blaming the woman, saying she was pushing and swatting the camel and was throwing dog treats into the enclosure when the dog ran in. They say Casper is friendly and plays with smaller animals like goats all the time.
Casper, the friendly camel.
Yeah. Well, he's more friendly now because he's neutered.
So they were at a zoo? Random.
Wasn't at a zoo. It was just
random.
Somebody had a llama.
Camel enclosure.
Or not a llama, but a camel. Yeah, no, people own camels. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And my aunt owned llamas. I don't know.
Why?
She really liked them. They were like really loving and furry and I don't know.
Wait, don't they spit on people?
Llamas or camels? Both?
Yeah. Actually both.
Yeah. Apparently
they're spitters.
Spit on you. Maybe not spit, but yeah.
They're spitters and sitters and biters.
I just want people to know that as I was reading that story, I was making direct eye contact with my dog just so he knows how much worse it could have been.
So when she bit, like, it didn't say she bit off a testicle.
Yeah.
She just bit a testicle.
Bit the testicles.
Because sometimes people like that.
Yeah, some people are into it. I don't know if Casper's into it. Maybe he's going to encourage her to come back.
He's going to be into it now.
Well, I if she didn't bite it off.
This is our camel, Casper. He really likes leather. It's a weird thing.
Okay, so here's the question. Like, she goes to the hospital, right? And they're like, what happened? And she tells them, well, a camel sat on me. Did she need to tell them that she bit its testicles to get out from underneath it? Or was that just something she...
That was pride.
Yeah, that was pride. Like, I need to tell you this.
No, you don't understand. I had
to bite the camel's balls. Yeah.
I'm curious about the undisclosed injury. Was it like a... Did she get a tooth knocked out? I don't know anything about camel testicles. Maybe they're like, you know, like hard rocks.
They can be very hard, right? I bet so. Yeah, camels seem like they're very hardy animals. I don't know. It doesn't say. Yeah, it still says undisclosed. I'm assuming just like a back injury or something like that. But
maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe,
yeah.
That's crazy.
I don't know.
I've done a lot of crazy things in my life. I can't ever say I bit a camel's testicle.
Not yet.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey,
I mean,
I'm still young.
You're only, well, okay, you're only 48.
I'm not young, but.
Yeah, but you're not old yet.
I still got a few years left.
You got a couple. Yeah. You got a couple camel biting years left in you. As you get older, it'll become harder because you'll be losing teeth. And then, you know, what are you going to lose your dentures trying to get away from the camel? I kind of wonder if this they claimed that this woman like went in and did. See, I'm almost siding with the owners because they're like the camel would never hurt anybody. And this woman was trying to get into the enclosure. I honestly think that she did this on purpose. Like, she has some camel testicle biting fetish and needed to exercise it on poor Casper the camel.
Well, here's the thing. She didn't know she had a camel testicle fetish until she saw.
Until she got sat on by a camel.
Until she saw.
Until she saw those.
The testicles hanging from the camel. She's like, oh, I got to get those in my teeth.
Oh, my God. there's a huge debate right now online, and it's...
Is this
it's
the Chicago Bulls thing?
God. It's not like the blue dress, black dress thing or whatever.
Is this the thing with the Chicago Bulls logo?
Oh, I have seen
when
that.
When you turn it upside down.
When you turn it upside down, it looks like a robot banging a crab.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not that.
No, it's not that.
It's a tweet that went viral from a news anchor named Liz Dweeke.
Wait.
She tweeted a picture on Saturday of six fun-size candies with the question, one has to go forever. Which one do you choose? The candy choices are Snickers, Kit Kat, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, M&M's, Milky Way, and Twix. So you can only get rid of one. Which one do you get rid of? The tweet went viral with around 35,000 people weighing in. I don't understand why that many people would weigh in. Again, the choices are Snickers, Kit Kat, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, M&M, Milky Way, and Twix.
Okay.
I don't know about you, Rod, but one of those things is not like the other, and that's the Milky Way. Why?
I like a Milky Way.
I like Milky Way, but I don't like it as much as the other ones.
You gotta have
there's nothing to it.
You got
to
have Milky Way to make prison cocoa.
Okay.
Dude, I'll tell you what. You... put a Milky Way bar in a cup of hot water and let it melt in there. That is the best damn cocoa you've ever had in your life.
Really? It's good?
Oh my God, it's delicious.
But doesn't it say something about Milky Ways that the only really good purpose for them isn't eating them in and of itself? It's turning it into something else?
No, you can eat them too.
I'm just saying, Milky Way's just like taking drinking a big old glass of sugar. Like they don't, there's nothing to them.
So there's no reason for this. Is just a random thing she did. Like, it's not like Mars itself has said, hey, one of these is going to be discontinued. This is just some woman going, hey, pick one that we're getting rid of.
Yeah.
Now, are we talking plain M&Ms or peanut M&Ms?
Ooh, let's see. Looks like the picture is just plain M&Ms.
That's what's going off the list.
Really?
Yeah.
Get rid of M&Ms.
Plain M&Ms, yes. I will eat plain M&Ms. I don't dislike them, but of all the things you said, I would get rid of plain M&Ms. That's the one I would skip.
You know what's not on here that I would have gotten rid of is Milky Way is not great, but the Three Musketeers.
Yeah.
I say worthless candy bar. What is that, like marshmallow in there or something? I don't even know what
it is. It's nougat, which is unholy. Nobody knows what nougat is.
Uh-huh.
It's found in the wild forest of Africa, and it's very, very hard to tame. But the point is
that what the woman in the last story thought she was biting into some camel nuggets?
That's it. Camel nougat. Have you ever had a Zero Bar?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I have always seen these in the grocery store, usually at the grocery store, at the 7-Eleven and stuff, and the candy aisle, and they're usually down at the bottom somewhere, and it says Zero, and it's like a silver and blue package. And I always thought that they had coconut, because for some reason I associated the color with coconut. I don't know why silver and blue and white was coconut, but anyways, turns out they're effing delicious.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's got like almonds and peanut butter and stuff in there. Oh, so good.
Yeah. Okay. I'll have to try one.
Try a Zero Bar.
I tend to be a very much a traditionalist when it comes to candy bars. I don't like to futz around.
I
don't like anything new.
I think
we perfected the candy bar. We had like 30 years to come up with the best candy bars, and then we did. And then everything after that is just combining things that don't necessarily need to be combined. They're just mutants.
Yeah, it's a good point, because, I mean, even, like, the best candy bars are all the same thing. Chocolate, caramel, and peanuts. I mean, you know.
Right.
Snickers, Baby Ruth, it's all kind of the same. No, I'm amazed that people, candy especially, is one of those things that people pick a thing, and then that's it. That's their thing. And Roman, one day, I was going to the store. I said, hey, do you want a treat? I'll bring you something. What do you want? He said, I don't know. Surprise me. Bring me something I've never had. And I was like dumbfounded. I was like, wow, that's really cool. Like, I don't know anybody that does that with candy. Everybody's like, hey, look, if it's not red Skittles, don't bring me Skittles. Don't bring me that purple bag. You know, I will kick your ass. So, and no weird Starburst, no tropical Starburst, like regular Starburst, you know, stuff like that.
Don't differentiate. Yeah. Don't be weird.
So, I went to the store and I grabbed something I'd never had, which was a Zero Bar. And I brought it back and Roman liked it. I liked it. Turns out they're pretty good. But yeah, so it amazed me. Roman's like, I would like something I've never had before. I was like, that's weird, because you never say that about anything else. It's always chicken.
Yeah, that's
strips.
That is the opposite of my approach. Okay, so we had this big station event. It's called Street Party 2 on Sunday. Had a bunch of big artists and stuff came, and then I met Kiefer Sutherland yesterday, which was interesting.
Oh, really? Sutherland?
Yeah, the Kiefer Sutherland. And by the way, I need to mention this. He was incredibly nice, and I didn't talk to him. Like, he stood in front of me. He stood in front of me for like a solid 3 minutes, and I had every chance to go and talk to him and be like, oh my God. I love 24. Like, the first two or three seasons of 24 are like some of the best television ever.
Oh, he was in Young Guns. He's been in some good movies. Yeah. I like the guy.
And I also always wanted to ask him if he remembers, because no one else remembers this movie, which is funny because the whole movie's about people not remembering things. But if he remembers being in the movie Dark City, which is one of my favorite just weird ass movies from the 90s.
I don't even know that
movie.
And
he's in it as like, it's a great movie. But he's in it as like this weird doctor guy who helps people like go to sleep. But he's also trying to help the protagonist like get out of this crazy city. Dark City is like, it's like a combination of The Matrix and The Truman Show. It's a really good movie. It's really weird. It's really well done. And it was totally forgotten. But I wanted to ask him about it. And that's all I could think of. And then I was like, if I ask him. And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember being in that movie. That's the end of this conversation. Like, I have nothing else to talk to.
So basically, you want to do the Chris Farley interview.
Yeah.
You go, hey,
Dark City.
Remember when you were in that movie, Dark City? That was awesome.
But the funny thing is, I get up on stage and I introduce him. Well, there's two funny things to this. First of all, Ayla, my co-host, we agreed that I would do one part and then she would do the second part. And then on the second part, when she's ready to introduce Kiefer Sutherland, we would both say Kiefer Sutherland like at the same time. Right. right, just to make it kind of sound harmonious and cool. And so she's up there and she says, all right, ladies and gentlemen, keep. And I thought she was going to say keep for Sutherland, but she said, keep it going for Mr. Like that. And, but when she said, I was waiting for her, the hard K-E sound. And so instead of that, I heard her go key and I was Kiefer. Nope. Oops, sorry. That was me in front of 10,000 people up on stage going, Keith, Neff, no, nope.
Keith, blah, blah. That's good, though. That now they know what they're dealing with.
Now they know who I am. Yeah, I thought she could keep that going. Go, like, ladies and gentlemen, keep it going for a kilo is a measurement of weights. Keno is a game that my grandma used to play. Quiche is a terrible food. And the whole time I would just be stuttering.
Keys start cars.
But yeah, I met him and then I get off stage, or I introduce him and I get off stage, and as I'm going down, he shakes my hand. He's like, hey man, really great job. That was awesome. And I was like, oh, thank you. That's what? So nice. Like, he didn't have to do that. Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, that's amazing. Like, the guy from 24 shook my hand, told me I did a good job, which I didn't. But he was just super nice. And it made me angry that I didn't then. Like, why didn't I talk to him before? Like, such an idiot.
Remember when you were in The Lost Boys? That was really great. I liked that movie.
That was awesome.
It was so a cool movie. Lost Boys. Yeah.
Hey,
had a good soundtrack.
Yeah. Remember when your dad was in MASH?
Yeah, he was good.
Remember your dad was Hawkeye in MASH. Yeah. He was really good. Yeah. He was really good at that. Yeah, yeah.
He was in Kelly's Heroes too. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was a great movie with Carol O'Connor. Yeah. So remember in Lost Boys?
Remember in Young Guns when you guys were tripping? That was really funny. I liked that part.
Real quick, since we're talking about him, his bio said he was in Stand By Me. I don't remember him being in Stand By Me.
Yeah, I don't either. Was he one of those kids?
I don't think he was. No, hold on. It says he's in Stand By Me. Let me look up. Oh, he was the little dirtbag with the knife.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I can only picture the four kids, you know? Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, them and John Cusack, the dead older brother.
Yeah. Well, he had it coming.
Yeah, well, you know, I watched that movie like literally a month after my brother died. And my brother actually looked a little bit like John Cusack.
Why did you do these things?
I didn't know it was on TV. And it's like, oh, I've never seen this movie before. I'll watch it. And then that part happened. And I was like, oh, God. I think I finished the movie years later. I don't think I could keep watching it.
Oh man. I had a friend who ended up in the hospital because they took too much. And anyways, everybody was really concerned that she was going to die, and it was a really tough time. And that night a friend of mine came over, was like, "Hey man, I got this Jane's Addiction movie thing." I was like, cool, let's watch that. That'll take my mind off it. It was all about his girlfriend overdosing, and then he had to call the cops and explain to them why he bathed her afterwards and all this stuff. And I was like, why did you bring this to my house?
I would think anything involved with Jane's Addiction is obviously going to lead to heroin overdose talk. I don't understand.
Yeah, I didn't even. I'm just thinking Jane's Addiction. Let's listen to some music. Awesome.
Perry Farrell is one of those guys. He is the very much the Keith Richards guy, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
He's been on heroin his whole life. Like, he's never stopped doing it.
No, I think he was.
And yet he's still alive.
I think he was born looking for some rocks.
That's the only reason he came out.
Yeah.
Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com is the sponsor of the show. He's got a bunch of great refurbished computers. If you are looking for a new computer but you don't have new computer money, go to AkinsPCRepair.com. We make this show using a refurbished computer from AkinsPCRepair.com. And I know we've complained about technical issues, but I have to say, those never have anything to do with the actual computer, they have to do with the crappy little incidental things that I buy to make the show work that I buy cheap. Cody Akins isn't cheap. The computers are, but his work is not. So go to AkinsPCRepair.com, get yourself a refurbished computer, or if you crack the phone on, crack the screen on your phone, or if you just, your phone isn't working or the battery is dying real quick, take it to him. He will fix it. He'll make it run like new. You don't have to go out and buy a new phone. Just take it to AkinsPCRepair.com and Cody will fix it. Make it like new. AkinsPCRepair.com. Make my computer guy your computer guy at AkinsPCRepair.com.
Do you still have that
facts about pubic hair thing?
Yeah, throw that on at the end, and then that'll make it a full hour or something, or a little
all
over.
Right. All right, this is something that Rod recorded with a bunch of his buddies, and it's facts about things you probably didn't want facts about. Here you go.
15 little known facts about pubic hair.
Okay.
All right.
Need to know.
First of all, the longest pubic hair in history. Any guesses? Length.
Like straightened out, obviously?
I guess, yeah. I'm assuming it wasn't, yeah.
I can't see it going past like a foot and a half, 18 inches.
Oh, what were you thinking?
4 inches.
You would think, yeah, it's pubic hair. I mean, even if you just let it go.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a lot of guys out there right now that
have yeah, but never... think about it this way. You could get as easy top into pants.
I don't think yeah, but normally, yeah, normally. There's people that have never shaved in.
Oh, it's
a world shorts. Record, so.
A woman named Mayoni V from Cape Town, South Africa, had a pubic hair that measured 28 inches.
Wow.
She also had an armpit hair that measured 32 inches.
Good for her. I don't even know the length of my arm.
Well.
Was it? Would it get in the way whenever you went to pick something up?
I don't know.
Over your shoulder, like a
so, like basically, she took her pants off, and you're like, "Man, look at the bush on her!" And then it just unraveled. You're like, "No, it's one hair. It's one friggin' hair. It was just coiled up."
Was all of the bush that long, or was there? You know how you get that one random hair growing on your shoulder
yes.
or something?
Yeah. Was it just even in your, on your hair on your head, like you'll have it. Like there's a hair. I'm like, how is this long? And right. But it's actually still attached.
So did she just have the one?
I don't know. Or were all of them?
Well, yeah,
just totally Medusa in the drawers.
Bush.
Obviously, Medusa would have tiny snakes in her underwear, right?
Yes, I saw that post.
I mean, it's Medusa, right? I mean, that was the whole thing. She had snakes for hair. So if you stared directly into her vagina, would you turn to stone? Maybe that's how it started. She was the first Viagra.
I know if I look at my vagina, I'm going to get hard. I know that.
Maybe for a minute, at least.
Yeah.
Okay. Pubic fact number two. In Asia, women pay... for pubic hair transplants, as opposed to the West, where women are relentlessly pube-shamed and always waxing themselves to the point where their external genitals are as smooth as a baby seal. Asian women, particularly those in South Korea, pay top dollar to have pubic hair implanted onto their crotches to give them a much fuller, lusher, more natural look. Wow. They dig the 70s bush in South Korea.
I'm glad I'm an American.
They're all about it.
Man, I got bleach in America.
Yeah. Them chicks, that it's like Bootsy Collins in the pants. Like, just poof.
Hey, like, nobody's upset about a little bit of hair, but I don't want it in the way.
Especially if it's something unusual. Like, if you get that, like, a lightning bolt shape going, or
a 28-inch like hair.
Maybe it's a 28-inch hair.
That may cause me to back out.
Maybe you got a dye job that's really impressive. It's like it's blue or green or something. Because I always had a thing about the punk rock girls that would dye their hair green. Because you know she's a crazy chick. She's got green hair. And she's going to be fun. It's at least fun at a party. But yeah, I always wondered, you know.
You got to. If I was a guy and dyed my hair green, I'd be like, my pubes are going green.
I'm totally dyeing the bush, too.
Not that anyone will ever see it, but
hey.
The girl accidentally... I would be nervous because it normally says on the box, do not leave this in. It can cause
part of the sensation. So if you're a hairy-ass man, do you dye your back door pubes green as well?
Might as well.
I'm all for it. I think it's a great idea. Fact number three.
You go all the way.
That's right, damn it. Fact number three, pubic wigs are a thing. We've been talking about this all night. Merkins. It's a Merkin. M-E-R-K-I-N-S. Genital toupees are known as a Merkin. Now, this is effed up. Thought to be first introduced in the 1400s.
What?
As a means for prostitutes to cover up signs of STDs.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. I can understand that one.
They were also popular in the sexually repressed Victorian era. These days, when shearing one's natural wool is all the rage, sometimes actors need Merkins for movies. So yeah, earlier I looked, if you just like go to Google and you Google Merkin, which is just a fun thing to do, they had a lovely little array of colored wigs.
How do you hold it?
That is a good question, because you get double-sided tape? Bobby taping that on.
Yeah, is it just double-sided tape? Because
they have the bobby pins.
Waistband?
I think that would ruin it, you know, like a chin strap on a fake beard. You spot that right away.
Kind of like an eye patch, though.
Let's see what it says here. M-E-R-K-I-N. Yeah, see, look. There are, by golly, there's images.
Thank God for images.
I don't want to leave this completely to imagination.
Your chick could get a Merkin that actually looks like a cat.
That's nice. Adorable. I like the heart.
The heart's cute. Now this one's got a more realistic coloring to it. Oh, this one looks like a cookie, like a chocolate chip cookie.
I thought it looked like a cookie.
Oh, it's a leopard, I guess.
Oh.
A leopard? It looks like a cookie to me.
I like the cookie idea better.
Yeah, because there's a lot you could do with that. And,
like an easy bag.
And a MAGA hat.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, that's
weird. Oh, look, it's even the lightly, it's not even, it's like the spirit gum. You know how the fake mustaches in the movies? They have this stuff called spirit gum. It's basically glue. You know, like the clear paste in the jar that has the brush in it, you know? And
It's
that kind of stuff. And you brush it on your lip and you stick it on there. And the thing is, when you get sweat on your lip under the lights, like you do, is why you see, especially like on Saturday Night Live and stuff, where they do costume changes and stuff.
Yeah, and they start peeling off.
Yeah, and the mustache just starts coming off. Because, they didn't get enough spirit glue on there, and then they sweat, and then it starts to come off.
So are you supposed to spirit glue your...
That's evidently, yes. You're supposed to spirit glue... Now, oh, what is this?
How's that going to last through a vigorous...
This Merkin...
Is that a strawberry?
Okay. Is that crocheted?
No, this is like a... Okay, like a, almost like a pasty, but for the downstairs.
Whoa.
I've never seen anything like that. So you spirit glue this over your junk?
No, I don't.
No.
No, well, first, there's a step one.
Oh.
You know what? There's a step before that, okay? Luckily, you're in good shape. You've done most of the steps. Somewhere in there is a shaving or a waxing, I'm sure. But... The big thing is, or the tricky part is, I believe there's rubber bands involved. Ooh. And it's a tie, a tug, a pull, and a tuck. So what was the movie? The Silence of the Lambs? That dude with the tuck and the dance? Okay, that's a lot of it. Like, you have to like walk around with that going on. And then you put this on.
Is that a cod piece?
Yeah.
Cod piece.
Somewhere in there is questioning your life decisions.
Hey, man.
I'm not sure where, but it needs to be addressed.
I will tell you this. Wow, there's some crazy Merkins out there. Okay, I will tell... What in
is
the hell
is
that?
Is that
one a rat?
Yeah, no, look, it's like a face on it.
It has teeth. That one's just underwear.
Yeah, but it's furry underwear with teeth. Like, that shouldn't be a thing. That should not. Okay, so, I truly believe that one of the greatest forms of entertainment on this planet is men dressed as women singing disco songs. especially if they can really sing. Oh my God, it's my favorite. I love going to drag shows. It's so fun.
Yeah, now they just have the Hamburger Marys.
They still do. And they do the Mariah Carey. We went one night. Yeah, it's fun. It's just a good damn time.
Girl I worked with her, she was used to be called River Rain. She used to dance down there. She was the only girl that would dance like a guy.
Yeah, there's usually one chick that it fits in with the drag queens.
Yeah,
somewhere.
That was River.
Oh, they have the.
I think that's a hag. No, that's not a hag.
No, that's a drag king.
That's a drag king. Is that what that is?
That's what they called one.
Interesting.
But she was dressed as a man.
A hag's a different thing.
So it was an inverse of a normal drag queen.
Interesting. I assume if there's only one, that person has some sort of respect amongst the drag crowd. You know where the term drag comes from, supposedly? In Shakespearean days, in the theater, men only did plays. Correct. Women weren't allowed to do plays.
Correct.
And when you have a script, in the margins of the script, you have stage directions. And in the directions, it would say, enters stage left, dressed as girl. Or D-R-A-G, dressed as girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes a little
sense. And, or D-A-G, I guess, and they change it to whatever. But that's where the term comes from. Drag, dressed as girl.
Okay.
Back in Shakespeare, and that's the way I heard the story. It could be BS. I found out one of the stories I always knew was BS.
That's rough.
Oh!
Oh, shit.
Dude, I've been dying to tell you this. I can't believe I just remembered. Our father.
Oh, okay.
My brother, Russ. Our father, when I was a kid... Okay. Our father was in Thailand.
Yep.
In the early 70s. Vietnam and all that shit. He was in the Air Force. And he was a B-52 bomber mechanic. And so he was in Thailand on a base, mm-hmm. and has just horror stories. I can't imagine what it was like anywhere else. That, you know, hardly ever talked about it. But he told me this insane story. Excuse me, I just fell. That was so horrible. He told me this insane story one time about Iron Mike and the monkey.
Yep,
and the snake. And Pete the python.
Yep.
And the chicken. And Iron Mike, the chicken raping monkey, and it's a crazy, just oh my God story. I never doubted it. I know it's 100% true. I found it online from someone else. It's Thailand, everything about it. That's the story Pops told me. Like it. Like, he was there, too. Like, I bet if we found the dude's name...
They were the same
basically,
together.
Basically, it was another dude like me saying, this is a story my pops told me about when he was in Thailand. Yeah, I was like, oh, my God! It was so cool.
I think it's a situation
like, wow, it was a weird validation, kind of.
I feel like anyone on that base...
Oh, yeah!
...is never going to forget that fucking story.
Yeah, everybody... Yeah, no, everybody saw it. Did you know the thing? Yeah. My
I need to
father know. Was in Thailand. He's like 22, 21, you know, 20. He's a mechanic on you know, bombers and just stressful and, you know, insane and war and all that shit. So, like once a week or a couple times a month or whatever it is, the guys all get together and all these mechanics and... Okay, one day, they find this gigantic python, like, sunning itself on the flight deck, on the runway. And it's huge, and everybody's just amazed by it. And so they get it, and they keep it. It's like a pet. They keep it in the basement, and they bring it out to sun it, you know, and stuff. And Pete the python, it's this gigantic thing.
As long as you feed it, it'll be friendly.
Somebody else, somewhere else on the base, had a monkey. That he caught and then made into a pet. And the monkey's name was Iron Mike, which was actually named after a wrestler from way back when, like in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s. So, like the name Iron Mike, most people go, oh, Mike Tyson. Tyson. Like, no.
But this was before that
way,
time.
Way before. The name been around forever. So anyhow, So every so often they would all get together and they'd all pitch in their money and they'd go to town and they'd buy a bunch of like really kick-ass seafood and have like a big party and get hammered and eat seafood and, you know, not mess hall shit and, you know, like made good, I don't know, lobster and crab, whatever the hell. And they would buy a live chicken and they would come home and they would bring the live chicken to Iron Mike and Iron Mike would get very excited and hoot and holler and jump up and down until he got his hands on that chicken, when and at which time he would wrap both hands around the neck of that chicken and use it like a fleshlight until it was just ridiculously lifeless, like just horrible.
Like my wife.
Yes, that poor yeah. Like my just. Yeah, from the way it was told to me, and just just attack that damn thing, and just yeah, like I said, use it like a cantaloupe that you popped in the microwave for a minute,
yeah.
You know.
that sounds dangerous.
Oh yeah, you're gonna not a minute, no go a whole minute. it's like twice cooking a Pop Tart. It'll fuck you up.
Yeah.
So anyways.
I got blisters.
The point is, Iron Mike would do his business and just rape the shit out of this monkey. Or out of this chicken. This monkey would rape this chicken until it was fully satisfied, toss the chicken aside like the cheap whore that it was, without even so much as cab fare.
Yeah.
And so they would get the chicken, which was now pretty much dead, and like, and they would put it in the cage with the giant python.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the chicken would have a second coming of life. And be like, ah, let me get the fuck out of here. And be running around and they would sit there and giggle and laugh drunkenly like 20-year-old dudes would as the snake slowly moved into position. And then, you know, squoze said chicken. Squoze, that's a word.
Squoze.
Squoze said chicken until it was finally out of his horrible misery. The story's kind of funny, but God, you talk about the horror from the chicken's point of view. Like, the chicken's like, fucked, my life's over. Like, you know, what? How much worse could it be? Somebody's going to cut my head off and cook me for dinner. No.
Hey, if an egg should fit in there, why can't I?
You wish someone cut your head off and cooked you for dinner. Oh, the glory of that. No, I'm going to introduce you to a monkey and a snake. So anyways, as ridiculous as it is, that horrible fucking story, I have this weird validation of my father's anything he's ever told me that I never doubted anyways, but especially now.
That's not something anyone forgets.
No. God, I loved that story. Okay, so we got off track there. Back to pubic hair. But who wants to talk about pubic hair after you heard a story like that? Asian women, pubic hair, pubic wigs, where are we at? Oh, Phoebe Cates. There's a picture of Phoebe Cates. I wonder if she wore a merkin.
I'm going to assume everyone.
There's a biological reason that the carpet doesn't always match the drapes. There's like a whole rainbow. As a kid, I thought everybody's was like black and brown. And then I discovered redheads. And then I never came back. Pubic balding is a thing. This is fact number 5. Pubic balding. I didn't realize what you basically know as male pattern baldness can happen anywhere. I had a friend named Stan who did Renaissance festivals. Every year for the Renaissance festival time, he would grow this great big beard and mustache, you know, which is actually funny because people think of that as the knights, you know,
mm-hmm.
But in all actuality, knights were military and they were crew cut, clean shaven dudes that shaved with their swords But at the Ren Fest, they all have big beards and shit and look like Vikings. Anyways, one year, like this big patch on the south side of his face didn't grow in. He's like, what the hell? Yeah, doctor's like, no, it's just male pattern baldness. What? He's like, yeah, some people get on their head, some people get on their face. The fact that you've been shaving all year, and you just haven't noticed where it's, you know, slowly spread out. Now you're just seeing it as this big patch. And yeah, and he said the following year there was like these leper like blotches in his beard. So he's like, sorry, I quit growing it back.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you had to get male pattern baldness, wouldn't it be great that now you just didn't have to shave instead of losing my your ears. Hair? Your ears, that would be nice.
Yeah, I would like to stop.
I wouldn't mind having it on the balls and ass. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Male pattern baldness on the balls. So, yeah, I had no idea, though, that it could happen anywhere. And evidently, it can happen in the balls. The weird history of pubic hair souvenirs.
Leela's Hair Museum on 23rd and Nolan.
I've heard about this hair museum, and I thought it was a joke at first.
I literally live a stone's throw away and never been there.
Really?
I think Ozzy.
Well, and I know you have quite the pubic hair collection of your own.
Who doesn't? Usually what I pick out of my mouth, I put in an envelope and...
Okay. I know, the back in the 1600s, 1700s, all this, people did weird shit. I mean, doctors, I think, still prescribed heroin as cough syrup, so...
People do weird shit still.
Yeah, but... Maybe they were just more open about it back then. Although now we have the internet. I've always said the internet has taught me one thing. It's that there's nothing wrong with me.
Yeah, right.
Because all the things that I thought, that's weird, I should never tell anybody that. I go, first of all, it's the second search on Google. Mm-hmm. And,
and I can get and by third, for it.
All the stuff I see, I'm not peeing on people's feet, you know? I'm not Bill Cosby and anybody. Like, what the shit? So anyways, the weird history of pubic hairs in the 1700s, 1800s. Wow. Upper crust. Of course, it's always the rich people. You know why? Yes. You know why that is? Because you've had everything.
Yeah, you're bored.
Exactly. You have no more nothing to look forward to. So you're like, now I want to pee on people's feet.
Yeah, that and you're not having to worry about if you're going to eat.
So you might as well
foot pee. What am I going to do instead?
Yeah, foot pee.
Yeah. What can I make these poor people do?
Remember the movie History of the World Part 1? For some reason, I just thought of that. It's good to be the king.
Yes.
Oh, piss boy! So, yeah, the upper crust people had an odd habit of collecting the pubic hair of one's lovers as a souvenir. A hunting trophy, they would call them.
Do you pull them?
Scalp them?
Ooh, that is a good question. Or is it freely given, or do you gotta like, aha?
Is it just coming out of your mouth?
Like everything's fine. Like, oh, that was so lovely. Oh, thank you for a lovely evening. Oh, that was.
Ow! Yeah, you just reach over and pluck one.
One? Hell, I gotta get a handful because I'm gonna drop several running out the door. She's trying to hit me in the back of the head. St. Andrews University has a museum containing a snuff box that is stuffed to the gills with the pubes of a mistress of King George IV. Yeah, IV, that's fourth.
Yeah.
Other men of the era would attach their lover's pubic hair onto their hats. Oh! Now we know the origin of the beaver skin hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense now.
I was picturing the big fluffy feather.
Oh, I'm proud of that. That was good.
I was picturing the big feather and instead just having like a big clump of pubes just stuck on your hat.
Oh, God. Just,
yep.
Like a trucker hat. Like they get the trucker hat and then they like get a little carefully dotted axle grease on there, you know?
They make it look like you're working.
Instead of a fish hook, it's a blob.
Yeah, instead of a fish hook, it's a blob. Exactly.
How do you get money selling that? I'm sure I got a whole shower drain full of it.
Hey, dude, supposedly there are vending machines in Japan that spit out panties, like pre-worn panties. Although...
I've not been.
I always thought, why is the weirdest stuff in the world come from Japan? And then I'm like, oh, yeah, it's all that nuclear shit.
Yeah, we fucked them up pretty bad.
Yeah, that's kind of our fault, isn't it? I'm sorry, Japan. In the 1700s and 1800s, I don't care how upper crust these people were, they didn't bathe as regularly as they did.
That box.
So them some smelly ass hats. Like, that's a nasty... Like, you ever had a work hat that you...
put on one day and go, okay, I got to get a new hat. This is kind of it, right?
Depending on where they got the fur, it was literally an ass hat.
Yeah.
An ass fur hat.
And now we know where the term ass hat comes from. You had your hair on your genitals as a child. You just couldn't see it.
Yeah.
Vellus hair. Thin, fine tufts that are nearly visible. Oh, I hate it when you're reading something and the phone jumps.
Yeah.
And like, where was I? You had hair. Yeah. Okay. Everybody knows when you're kids, you have the fine little. Okay, there's actually a technical term for the onset of pubic hair during adolescence. That term is... Okay, I don't know how to say this word.
Oh, fuck, man.
So, yeah, you have to try.
Which one?
That term. See where it says the technical...
Pubark?
Say again?
Pubark?
Pubark.
I don't know.
Like but pubark?
I bet Google can...
I don't know.
I bet it'll sound it out for us.
First magazine to show a full bush.
The Hustler?
I would say Playboy.
Playboy. In another year?
70-something.
1971. Pubarky.
I left off.
Pubarky. That is a great fake last name.
Is that like a bukkake, but would just you throw all your pubic hair?
Just throw your all the pubic hair you've been saving from your various lovers in your snuff can.
Yeah.
Tucked behind your ear.
I'm looking forward to that search history.
Okay, so smut rags and all that stuff been around forever. But yeah, the first one to show the bush, Playboy 1971, January. We're going to start the year off right.
Yeah.
It's a good year, too. I was born later that year. Strange case of the 16-month-old Alabama infant with adult pubic hair. In a snuff can.
There's a small percentage chance, but it actually happens where babies at birth have full mouth of teeth.
That would freak me out more.
Yes.
Would you chew something up in there? What were you doing? That's weird. That would freak me out.
It's a very small chance. But
because some babies are born with hair, some babies aren't, all that kind of shit.
Yeah, a lot of babies will come out and they'll be like furry all over, and then all that hair falls out, and then it goes to more normal.
Some are like my son, they have a tail and you know, the six toes.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you got rid of the tail.
Yeah. I'm glad you keep the toes, though. If you're going to climb the shit out of trees, it'll be awesome.
That's why you're so good at dancing. That balance.
So, 2007 issue of Clinical Pediatrics details the case of a 16-month-old Alabama boy with full pubic hair developed and an adult-sized penis.
Oh, that's a 16-month-old.
Wow.
I bet his dad was actually kind of jealous if he actually admit it.
Yeah, perspective-wise...
That would look monstrous.
You know, first of all, did you ever see the Comedy Central? There's a show for a while called Upright Citizens Brigade.
Maybe one or two.
They did this joke. It was really funny sketch comedy stuff. First time anybody ever heard of Amy Poehler, she was on there. Really funny shit. Anyways, the point is, they did this sketch one time, and it was like it's like one of those things where you never heard of this disease, and they're on there like, you know, it's a very serious thing, and these kids like can't go out in the daylight, and you know, all this kind of stuff. Like, wow, this is awful. Yeah. And it was a kid, but yeah, he had like cock to his knee, and he was like a little kid. I mean, it wasn't actually a little kid; it was, you know, one of the actors, but it was hilarious, and they like trying to. Like, they're chasing him with the belt because they have to tie it to his leg so he doesn't get hurt. And he's like, no, I want to go on the swings. And he's like, it's like swinging out of his shorts. And oh, my God, it was so funny and horrible. And that was the first thing I thought of as I'm reading this about a 16-month-old Alabama boy, full pubic hair and an adult-sized penis. That's got to be horrible. Turned out his father had been prescribed testosterone gel.
Ah, okay.
Which he'd smeared all over his body before climbing into bed.
And then they got on the kid.
And cuddling with his newborn. Wow, that is crazy. The state of Missouri has a pubic waxing law for minors. All minors must be waxed. No. In Missouri, children under 18 are forbidden from being waxed on or near genitalia.
Okay.
Unless they provide proof of parental consent.
That's awkward as hell.
So, I actually thought that's a good law until the parental consent thing, and then it just seemed weird.
Then it got weird.
Why'd you have to make it weird?
So you mean my mom would wax me when I was younger and it was illegal?
No, it was totally legal for her to.
Yeah, she gave herself parental consent to do it.
Right. I thought it was interesting that the state of Missouri has pubic wax. Like, of all states, why Missouri?
You'd think Kansas would have some crazy stuff.
Yeah, these would make sure up. Why in the F is pubic hair curly? Under a microscope, pubic hair is flat in shape, like linguine. Yeah, the flatness of the hair is what causes it to curl.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
In contrast to long straight hair,
which is round.
Looks like it's shaped round, like spaghetti when viewed. Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
Your hair on your head, when you look at it under a microscope, is actually round like a spaghetti noodle, whereas the pubic hair is flat like a little game.
Definitely have learned some interesting shit tonight.
Female pubes popped up all over the place in famous paintings of the 1800s. People in the 1800s were obsessed with the pubes. They were putting it in their hats. They were putting it in the snuff cans. They were, like, tossing it at each other for weddings. Finally, they're like, enough with the pubes. We're using rice from now on.
Yeah.
Female pubes, yeah.
Bird nests were at an
all-time. The Dream of the Fisherman's Wife is a famous painting. La Maja, the Macarena. It's Macarena. That I'm pretty sure that's how you say that. And something L. Oranges de Monde, Monte Carlo. Those three paintings, the guy selling oranges with the Monte Carlo.
Sounds like a guy that would have some pure fetishes.
The Hot Fisherman's Wife and the Macarena. These three paintings have pubic hair in them.
Accidentally, or yeah. did the guy paint them nude in a strong wind
case? Which features...
he used actual
bush. Yeah, used bush to... Okay. To give texture to colors.
And smell.
Yeah.
Scratch and smell.
Oh, here's a good one. The last little known fact about pubic hair. Pubic hairs are exchanged during sex.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If you and your partner both have pubic hair, chances are that you will swap quite a few stray pubes during intercourse. I guess that depends on how you're doing it. Depends on how freaky deaky you get. Like, do you just bang her cat, shit in her purse, and leave? Or do you, like, you know, stay around for the whole thing? So I know Jamie's a shit in the purse and out the door kind of guy.
Yeah. I'll shit on him.
Doesn't bother me at all. What do you want, a Kansas City Sugar Room?
I don't. The wording of that bothers me, though.
What?
You guys transfer pubes. It's.
I know. It's like transfer.
It's like her pubes are going to start growing on me.
So that was 15 little known facts about pubic hair. Brought to you by Rod Babcock.